Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning. Welcome to Feedback. It's the Friday edition, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. That means it's Open Phone Friday, and we'd love for you to be a part of the conversation, even take charge today if you like. 715-845-2155. 715-845-2155 if there's anything that you would like us to discuss. The floor is open. If there's something that we've mentioned over the week that you want to hit on again, great. If there's something we haven't talked about that you think is important, that's okay too. Give us a call and get the conversation started. As we have mentioned in the newscast today, the passing of Nelson Mandela. There are Nelson Mandela was a very interesting individual and has had an amazing effect on world history, both good and there's been some things that he did that, I'll be honest with you, I disagree with in a tremendous way. But when you are spending your entire life fighting a corrupt and oppressive government, there comes a point where you think, I will do anything to get the right thing done. And that is definitely the case of Nelson Mandela.
Did you know that Nelson Mandela was on a terrorist watch list until 2008?
Yeah, he was.
Until 2008!
Well, you know why. All right, let's talk about it. All right.
Yeah, he was the head of the ANC, and they were trying it at one point for a violent overthrow of apartheid.
He was college educated and studied law and used his education and his political connections to do everything he could to fight apartheid, which is the wholesale institutional racism that was South Africa. It was not just personal racism of an individual, you know, the white minority being very exclusionary and controlling over the black majority of South Africa. It was government regulations, laws, businesses. It was just for a black individual in South Africa at that time, it was brutal. So Nelson Mandela, in 1948, the South African National Party became an actual political party in South Africa. Nelson Mandela was born in 1918, and in 1948, when this particular party, the African National Congress, the South African National Party came to power. He began that was a platform for him to be able to have legitimate political stance, that as that party became a political power and recognized officially, that was the toehold that gave legitimacy to the argument of equal rights, of social change and a reform in the country. He fought long and hard trying to do this the right way. He fought long and hard trying to get the system changed from within by being political. He was committed to nonviolent protests. However, he formed a militant group called the MK, and I can't. It's Umgontu Wiswizi. Forgive me. I'm mispronouncing it terribly. In 1961, which was very closely affiliated with the South African Communist Party, they led sabotage campaigns against the government buildings and facilities, and as a result of his militant and violent activities, he was arrested in 62, convicted of conspiracy to overthrow the government, and sentenced to life in prison.
Normally, in those situations, it would have been a death sentence, but apparently there were leaders around the world that
Well,
petitioned
he was also,
the South African government to not kill him.
Well, and also, he wasn't just a thug throwing Molotov cocktails. He was a very well-known individual, where it wasn't a case where you can just take somebody nobody knows about, nobody cares about, nobody's going to miss if they go belly up. There was a lot of attention on it. So he got life in prison and was sentenced. Now, let me say this, that I admire the courage and the strength of an individual that will spend every ounce of their life fighting injustice. I think that is honorable. He knew what he stood for, he knew what he believed in, and he fought hard for it. However, I do not agree with aligning with a communist party. I do not agree with becoming violent. I understand the frustration. Never, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say, oh, I know what it was like. I do not. The biggest frustration I've got is waiting too long in the grocery aisle. Okay? I don't understand. I have never personally experienced this kind of thing. But I do understand it. But I do not and cannot condone the violent acts. I can't do it. Aligning with the Communist Party and the guerrilla warfare. I'm sorry, I can't. There have been times in our own American history where political progress has been to no avail, to where violent overthrow had to be the issue. This is how we came to be as a nation. We separated ourselves from British parliamentary rule through war. But just being a thug.
Would you suggest that Samuel Adams and John Hancock and Paul
Revere?
Yeah,
I know. I know where you're going with that. Okay. This was and there are some distinct similarities. I got it. I understand that. But there is a difference between organizing a nation and declaring war on your, on the monarchy. That's one thing. Becoming a guerrilla group, fighting in the streets, and not having an official declared government entity. You know what I'm saying? You either do it the right way or you're doing it in guerrilla warfare style. Do it the right way, and I will support it. Guerrilla warfare, you're fighting in the streets. I will not condone that because there's no honor in that. Now, after spending 27 years in prison, a international campaign lobbied for his release. Ted Kennedy was involved in that here in the United States, and it led to some interesting controversy with our own President Reagan. Ted Kennedy and another legislator drafted legislation that would impose some pretty harsh restrictions and sanctions against South Africa, whom we were quite buddy-buddy with politically and through the State Department, diplomatically, I should say. And Reagan said, no, I will not sign the legislation because I think the restrictions will hurt the people of South Africa, those that we're trying to help. It will hurt them more than it will hurt the government. So he decided not to sign the legislation. Congress overruled the veto. President Reagan vetoed this legislation. Congress overruled him and said, no, we have the votes. We're moving forward. And a lot of people would say that that was one thing that showed that there was a lot of international pressure to release Mandela, that he had served enough time for the crimes that he did commit, and that led to his release and, of course, led to his rise politically again, and initially and eventually became president of South Africa.
You have to give credit, too, to F.W. de Klerk, who was the head of South Africa at the time that Mandela was released. It was his decision to release Mandela from prison because he had to realize, as did, I would imagine, most of the white people in power at that point knew that their time was coming to an end.
Yeah. This was, the 90s? He was released in... What year was he released?
I got to look.
Yeah, look it up. when he was released, he was elected president. I think he was released in 1990. Yes, and became president in 1994. 1990, the world had moved on from racism. It was no longer an acceptable form of government. It was no longer an acceptable policy, wholesale policy of racism. It's just not acceptable. Was racism wiped out? No, no, no. Racism still exists. But as a wholesale acceptable thing, no. It's an embarrassment. So after all that, that is his life. After spending time leading and suffering for his cause, he led a rich life and passed away yesterday. And when we come back, I want to talk about the power of one man. There's a lot of us that believe that one person does not have the ability to make significant changes. Individuals like Mandela and many others throughout history prove that's wrong. So the question is there something different about those that have been in history? Or is it just the drive inside? WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News Feedback. We'll be right back.
Central Wisconsin's Badgers Sports Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. I encourage you to be a part of the conversation, because I'd really like to hear your opinion of what has happened, what the life that Mandela led, right? Now, the thing that I bring up is that there's a lot of us that look at the problems locally, look at problems nationally, and look at global problems and think, I wish somebody would do something. I can't somebody fix this? Can't somebody do... Okay, I got you. I have felt that frustration as well. And sometimes you just have to, you look at yourself and go, I have no idea what to do. What can be done? What is the possibility of being able to fix this, the economy, the rampant socialism? What can we do? All right. There's a lot of us that have this misnomer that leaders have to be some kind of special person, that leaders have to have this golden light of the sky parting, you know, the clouds parting, and this golden host of angels and light come down and go, you are the one. Now, that's not how it works. A lot of times, the way a leader comes to power, or the way a leader becomes a leader, is you get up off the couch, and instead of observing, you start doing.
You mean it's not George Soros or the Koch brothers deciding who will be the leaders?
No. It's not always a case where somebody goes, wow, you see this guy over here? He has got absolutely no clue how to run a country at all, but he's got some dynamics. He's got some dynamics to him, and I think we can back him, and his socialist ideas
are
great.
We had 8 years of that a while ago. Yeah, we don't.
So let's go to the phones and see what you think. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Tim.
All right, what can we do for you?
Well, I just want to play a little devil's advocate, if I may, here.
Sure.
You mentioned with Nelson Mandela that you have high praise for him, but yet you didn't care for his aligning with the African National Congress and the communists there in order to achieve his goal.
I did not like him turning away from being a political activist to being a violent, condoning violent and terrorist activities in order to get the message across and to attain his goal. No, I did not like that.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Would you differentiate that, his aligning with them, than say our aligning ourselves with Joe Stalin in World War II in order to get rid of Adolf?
No, that was an absolute ridiculous thing for us to do. Wait a minute. You're saying You're saying when we fought World War II against Hitler, aligning ourselves with the communists at that point?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. At that point, aligning ourselves with the communists of World War II, they were not demonstrating at that time. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay, but my understanding of world history is that they were not demonstrating an aggressive militaristic attitude toward world domination that developed post-World War II. And is that correct, or
am I wrong?
They were
fighting for their survival at that point.
Yes, they were. They were defending being attacked from Germany. And in a case of war, all right, yes, the State Department, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I disagree with that, but I don't know that we... Well, we weren't simply going to say, okay, Russia, you go and do it by yourself. We're not going to be your ally. And we weren't simply going to say, oh, you know what, we're going to fight Germany and Russia at the same time. Although Patton wanted to go in to Germany or Russia after World War II.
And so did Churchill, yeah.
Churchill, yeah. The communists at that time were not displaying aggressive geopolitical ideals, were they? Or am I not remembering it correctly?
Well, they weren't in a position to weren't in a position to at that point, but the writings were still there.
Okay. But had they demonstrated aggressive geopolitical ideals? And I'm asking you, the caller.
Well, I'm not sure if you could say or not, because I know at that time, as World War II was starting, I know Stalin was secretly helping Mao out in his attempts to communize China as well. So I think the plans were all in the works. It just, by aiding him, though, to get rid of Hitler, we also elevated them to the world stage.
I agree that there have been numerous alliances that the United States has made politically that have turned out to bite us in the butt. It happens over and over and over again. That is the changing dynamic of the world. But at the time that Mandela was fighting for his ideals, the communist ideal, the communist desire was very, very clear. Late 60s and so forth, it was very clear what they wanted to do. They had demonstrated what their ideal was. And that's why I find it to be unpleasant. I disagree with doing that. And I know that line is paper thin, but that's how I feel about it.
All right. Well, thanks for answering my question.
You bet, Benny. Thank you very much for calling in. All right, let's go to the next line.
Comment to pass on, though.
All right, go ahead. What's your name? Hello?
Yeah.
What's your name?
John.
John, what can we do for you?
As you're talking about this, I mean, Mandela had no choice of where he could turn, right?
I'm not sure I understand what your question or statement is.
Well, like, for example, you know, if you're in a revolution and you go to one person, they won't give you money or weapons or arms. You're going to go to somebody else, right?
All right. The issue is I don't agree with him taking up arms. He was a political leader. He should not have aligned himself.
For blacks in South Africa until after apartheid.
I understand that, but I'm saying my personal belief is that it was degrading to his authority and to his honor to lower his standards to become violent and condone violence in this fight. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, we'll disagree on that.
Okay. You know what? And that's fine. It's perfectly okay to disagree.
Do you think apartheid would still be around if they wouldn't have taken the tack that they did?
No. Not in today's environment? No, I do not. It would have been longer of a battle. It would have been, there would have been many, many more people still suffering. But it could have, the issue of racism in South Africa could have come to an end without violence. Let's go to the phones. Thanks for calling. You're going to be the last call of this segment. What's your name? Mike? Is that you? All right, Mike's gone. All right, with that, let's take a break. It's WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please call 715-845-2155.
The News Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.